This is VLX number 19, Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 through 11. The Beatitudes with St. Ignatius of Loyola, part 2 of 4. Let's begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. God our Lord, we ask the grace that all of our intentions, actions, and operations be directed purely to the service and praise of your divine majesty. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Thus are the words of St. Ignatius of Loyola. You might notice right here I have Our Lady of Good Success up. I just got that from a parish this morning. And I talk about Our Lady of Good Success in the last CPX, if you have a chance to listen to it, because it talks about what I believe is coming in the church. So I think it's probably important to listen to if you want to know kind of what's going on in the state and the church and my best guess at it. But great news today, we are now doing a part 4 series on the Beatitudes, and we're now at 2 of 4. And today I'm not going to read you the Beatitudes, but you can go read Matthew 5, 1-11 before this meditation if you want. This, if you remember, is the second time we're going to meditate on the two standards of St. Ignatius of Loyola in light of the Beatitudes. Now last time we covered St. Ignatius, and remember, he was a 16th century warrior who was wounded in battle. He had his conversion after being wounded in battle, and he decided to go from fighting material wars to spiritual wars. Now, nowadays, when we think of spiritual warfare, we think of deliverance ministry and exorcism. And we should. That's an important part of it. But did you ever think of the Beatitudes as spiritual warfare? I never really did. Someone once asked St. Ignatius of Loyola after his conversion, "What is the way to perfection?" He answered, "If you suffer many and great things for Christ." In other words, the way to perfection, the way to spiritual union with God on earth, is to suffer many and great things for Christ. So we have to ask ourselves, as we did last time, what changed this great military leader from wanting to inflict wounds to go and, quote, suffering many and great things for Christ? In VLX 18, I gave you the basics of the two standards and the history of the Jesuits. Remember that Ignatius would have even walked St. Francis Xavier through the meditation I gave you last time, and what we're going to go into more intricately right now, the two standards or the two flags. Today I'm actually going to give you his words exactly, the whole thing, but I kind of had to butter you up with the basics of that meditation because he writes much more soberly than us Americans now. So I hope if you have a chance you can listen to VLX 18 before today's VLX 19. But what I had to do last time is imagine a huge battlefield with Satan surrounded by demons on the one side of the battlefield and Jesus surrounded by the saints on this other one. Ignatius describes it as this. He says, imagine a great plain in Jerusalem. Our Lord is standing under a flag or a standard, surrounded by all the saints of history. And then on the other side, thousands of miles away, is a great plain in Babylon. That's modern-day Iraq. This is where the enemy is. And as I mentioned last time, there's a lot of great Catholics today in Iraq called Chaldean Catholics. But the way Ignatius sets it up, the bad guys are in Iraq. And Satan's right there. He's seated under another flag, but St. Ignatius describes what Satan's doing is seated. He's not standing like our Lord. St. Ignatius says he's, quote, seated on a great throne of fire and smoke, close quote. So let's go back to Jerusalem. Here we have Jesus standing. It's not King Aragorn. It is Christ himself. So don't picture Vigo from Denmark or Vito from Sweden like I accidentally said last time. Picture Christ standing under the flag of the resurrection. And again, on the opposing side, it's okay to picture the orcs as surrounding Satan. And you know, I mentioned Lord of the Rings not because it's necessary material to your meditation, but just because St. Ignatius really does have us meditate on something as epic of a battle as one of those great scenes in Tolkien's books. But what I had you meditate on last time, and again, this is the question to ask yourself, whose side are you on? Are you on Jesus' side? Are you on Satan's side? Are you somewhere in the middle because of attachments or sins? Now, before I give you the meditation today exactly as St. Ignatius gave it, what does this have to do with the Beatitudes? Because aren't we going through the Bible? Aren't we going through Matthew's Gospel? Well, St. Ignatius started to see that the cannons and swords that he used to play with, these would not defeat the kingdom of Satan on earth. Because here below to win souls to the kingdom of Christ, the greatest weapons would be poverty, gentleness, mercy, being pure of heart, being a peacemaker, and even being persecuted and reviled. This was blessedness, according to our Lord. Now, before Ignatius's conversion, he wanted riches, women, and honors. Honors was a huge thing for him, and he actually had plenty of all three of those. But then, as a wounded knight, as he read the life of the saints, especially St. Francis of Assisi, Ignatius saw that the greatest battle was for his soul and others' souls, and he found that Satan's kingdom would most certainly be wounded and defeated by following Christ, Christ crucified, and the pathway to Christ crucified is the Beatitudes. So let me give you the meditation as St. Ignatius gives it. But just one warning before I jump in. Ignatius was a Spaniard, not a Mexican or an Italian. So Ignatius writes his meditations without adverbs and exclamation marks like you see in other Central and South American cultures and Mediterranean cultures. The Spanish in the 16th century wrote very, very soberly and even kind of in a curt manner. So this meditation might sound less exciting than what I gave you last time in the two standards in VLX 18, but it's not less exciting. It's much more packed with intense contemplation. It's just very soberly written as the Spanish used to write, and really as the Spanish still write. And that's partly why, again, in VLX 18 with the two standards, I gave that to you first, because kind of us modern American attention spans need a little more vivid descriptions than the Spanish minds of the 16th century. So do go back if you have a chance to listen to that meditation on the two standards. But today is going to be the gold standard of the two standards because it's going to be exactly his words for you to bring to prayer. So notice the gravity and excellence of this meditation as you listen. And it might pass you by because of how he writes. So from here on out on today's video, I will only quote the words of St. Ignatius of Loyola, and I will end on the words of St. Ignatius of Loyola without any further additions of my own. This comes from the Spiritual Exercises of St. Ignatius, as translated by Father Poole out of Loyola Press in Chicago, or Loyola as they say in Chicago. We are on page 60. This is number 136 of the fourth day of the meditations, called the Meditation on Two Standards. St. Ignatius says this exactly, quote, "A meditation on two standards. The one of Christ, our supreme leader and Lord, the other of Lucifer, the deadly enemy of our human nature. Prayer, the usual preparatory prayer. Number 137, first prelude, this is the history. Here it will be that Christ calls and wants all beneath his standard. And Lucifer, on the other hand, wants all under his. Second prelude. This is a mental representation of the place. It will be here to see a great plain, comprising the whole region about Jerusalem, where the sovereign commander-in-chief of all the good is Christ our Lord, and another plain about the region of Babylon, where the chief of the enemy is Lucifer. Third prelude. This is to ask for what I desire. Here it will be to ask for a knowledge of the deceits of the rebel chief and help to guard myself against them, and also to ask for a knowledge of the true life exemplified in the sovereign and true commander and the grace to imitate Christ. First part, the standard of Satan. First point. Imagine you see the chief of all the enemy in the vast plain about Babylon, seated on a great throne of fire and smoke, his appearance inspiring horror and terror. Second point, consider how he summons innumerable demons and scatters them, some to one city and some to another, throughout the whole world, so that no province, no place, no state of life, no individual is overlooked. Third point, consider the address Satan makes to them, how he goads them on to lay snares for men and bind them with chains. First, they are to tempt them to covet riches, as Satan himself is accustomed to do in most cases, that they may the more easily attain the empty honors of this world and then come to overweening pride. The first step then will be riches, the second honor, the third pride. From these three steps, the evil one leads to all other vices. Second part, the standard of Christ. In a similar way, we are to picture to ourselves the sovereign and true commander, Christ our Lord. First point, consider Christ our Lord standing in a lowly place in a great plain about the region of Jerusalem. His appearance is beautiful and attractive. Second point, consider how the Lord of all the world chooses so many persons, apostles, disciples, and sends them throughout the whole world to spread his sacred doctrine among all men, no matter what their state or condition. Third point, consider the address which Christ our Lord makes to all his servants and friends whom he sends on this enterprise, recommending to them to seek to help all, first by attracting them to the highest spiritual poverty, and should it please the divine majesty, and should he deign to choose them for it, even to actual poverty. Secondly, they should lead them to a desire for insults and contempt, for from these springs humility. Hence there will be three steps. The first, poverty, as opposed to riches. The second, insults or contempt, as opposed to the honor of this world. The third, humility, as opposed to pride. From these three steps, let them lead men to all other virtues. Colloquy or discussion with Christ. A colloquy should be addressed to Our Lady, asking her to obtain for me from her Son and Lord the grace to be received under His standard. First, in the highest spiritual poverty, and should the Divine Majesty be pleased thereby, and deign to choose and accept me, even to actual poverty. Secondly, in bearing insults and wrongs, thereby to imitate Him better, provided only I can suffer these without sin on the part of another, and without offense to the Divine Majesty, then I will say the Hail Mary.